In today's gospel, Christ urges us to imitate God in our relations with one another. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get the same amount back. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you, a good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning, everyone.
Deacon Doug.
Friends, the gospel for today is taken from Jesus' Sermon on the Plain in the Gospel of Luke. His teaching is one of the most sacred, inspiring, and yet annoying and puzzling text in the New Testament, because it speaks of loving our enemies, not just tolerating them, not just accepting, but actually loving our enemies. I happened to mention this to my daughter a couple of weeks ago, saying I was going to preach on loving thy enemy, and she thought about it for a little bit. She paused and said, "Dad, I think I know what you're talking about. What you're saying is we should love any fans of the New York Yankees and the New York Jets." If it was only that easy, right? For a second, though, think about a great global enemy. Maybe the September 11th hijackers or Adolf Hitler. Now make it a bit more personal. Maybe someone in your life that you just don't like. Somebody that annoys you to no end. Someone you don't like and can't stand to be around. Hold that person in your mind for a second. And then hear Jesus' words, "Love thy enemy." How annoying is that? How strange. The first reading for this week is always coupled with this gospel. And it's fascinating. It deals with the conflict between Saul and David. And you remember that Saul becomes very jealous of David and seeks to kill him. Mind you, this is not a mild quarrel. This is a life and death struggle as Saul and his armies pursue David. However, in today's reading, the tide is turned. David sneaks into Saul's camp, and there he sees the king asleep. David could easily kill Saul, a man who's been trying to kill him unjustly and aggressively out of insane jealousy. One could say that David has every right to kill Saul, but he doesn't. I once read an article from a professor who was saying to his students that the great test of moral character for someone is what you do when the tide turns and suddenly your enemies have been delivered into your power. Think about that. Someone you don't like, someone that has hurt you when they were in a position of authority, and now, as often it happens in life, the tide turns and you are in a position to get them. What do you do? How do you respond? That's exactly what happened to David. And David rises to the occasion. He does not kill Saul. He loves his enemy. Now, let me offer a few reasons why we all may love our enemies. First, and most importantly, I think why Jesus has this so central to his teaching is to love one's enemies is the best test of love. Love is to will the good of the other and then act on that will. So this is the ultimate test of love, because you are loving those who are never going to love you back. You are loving someone or are kind to someone because they know that you're not going to love them. If they were going to love you, it would be easy. That's no test at all. To love your enemy, though, those who will not love you back, those who will not be kind to you, then you know that you are willing their good and not your own. And Jesus himself says this as much. If you love those who love you, what credit is that? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, how can you claim any credit? The second reason why it's important to love your enemies is that they do tell you an awful lot about yourselves. There's a good chance that the people who bother you the most are the ones who are revealing deep truths about yourself. Think about that person that really bugs me. I don't like that person. How come I don't like that person? There's a chance that they are making it clear to me publicly something that I may not like about myself. Aspects of my own personality that remain perhaps unconscious, which I may want to see in my enemies. In that sense, they may be a gift from God. They may be a kind of liberating and illuminating source for me. And Jesus acknowledges truth when he says, "Remove the plank in your own eye so that you can see more clearly the speck in your brother's eye." That person really bugs me. Well, chances are I have a plank in my own eye that I can't see. The third reason why it's important to love your enemies is perhaps your enemy is actually pointing out something you may want to change in your own life. Here's what I mean. Maybe, just maybe, and it's hard to admit, but maybe my enemy is right, and it's me who needs some level of change. See what I'm saying? I can't stand that person, but maybe she's right. Maybe she's good, and I'm the one who's a little off right now. Just think for a second how many people saw Jesus as the enemy. Everybody. Pharisees, Romans, Sadducees, even one of his disciples. He became an enemy to all of them. And why? Because he was believed as no good, as a problem, and they were all right and just. But as we know, to the contrary, Jesus himself is the ultimate criterion of good, and his enemies are the ones who are precisely off. Okay, friends, so let's ask this hard question. Does that person that I don't like or maybe even hate, is it possible that she or he is good and I am not? Is it possible that she's doing God's work and I'm not? Therefore, your enemy can be a point of enormous clarification in our own lives. Final reason why it's good to love your enemies? Because you may just win them back. Remember, the whole purpose of our faith as Catholics is to draw people into the mystical body of Christ. If you kill your enemy, well, yes, I guess you protect yourself. If you insult your enemy, I guess you'll keep that enemy at bay. But the point here, everyone, is to bring our enemies back into communion with God. I know that when we are attacked, we have this very fundamental right and desire, we feel that we should fight back. It's hardwired into our psyches, fight fire with fire. But you see, when we hate our enemy in that way, we confirm that person as an enemy. When we answer in kind, we just simply justify his or her dislike in us, and we enter into a terrible cycle of violence. Just the opposite happens when you love your enemy. What you do is you put a wrench in the works of that process of violence. We, as Christians, are called to the Lord to put a wrench in the works of that cycle of violence. And how do we do it? Well, like St. Pope John Paul II and Martin Luther King, we love our enemies, we bless those who curse us, and we pray for those who maltreat us. I'd like to close with a short story that illustrates this. During World War II, there was a woman from the Netherlands. Her name was Corrie ten Boom, and her family risked their lives to save Jews against the Nazis. When the family was eventually betrayed and sent to a concentration camp, Corrie experienced firsthand the cruelty of those who had once persecuted her and millions of others. Years later, when Corrie encountered one of her former captors, she chose forgiveness over bitterness. Her willingness to forgive and speak openly about the power of love and forgiveness became a powerful testimony, one that she shared in lectures and writings long after the war, inspiring many to consider the transformative strength of forgiveness, even in the face of extreme suffering. Her story illustrates a courageous decision for all of us to respond to injustice and enmity, not with further hostility, but with understanding, with love, and with forgiveness. Her actions serve as a powerful reminder that loving one's enemies can have a transformative force for healing and reconciliation, even in the most divided situations and societies. May God bless you.